God says to us this morning, be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. That was on our bulletin, if you read your front of your bulletin. And you could ask the question, what does it mean to be still and know that I'm God? Like, how do we be still? How do we stop and pause and just sit down and ponder and think about God? And that's what we intend to do this morning, is to just pause, think, and exalt our Lord. Christian Aid has billboards that they put up on the highways, and this was on the billboard next to the accident when my nephew Chad and my mother was killed. It's right next to it. And it became very significant. God just said, stop, consider who I am. So as we consider what's happening in our nations and in the world and the rumors of wars and the confusion and that goes on in elections, and God says, be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the heathen and I will be exalted in the earth. That gives me a tremendous amount of comfort. I find a lot of rest in that. It just relaxes me when I can get a hold of these truths. But there's something that needs to happen in order to have these truths become part of your life, that you can find rest when everything else is pretty stressful and upside down. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Something that I've been wrestling with for, I don't know, just the last week or two, thinking about life and thinking about faith. And I intend to talk about faith this morning. And I have to confess that it's a difficult subject. As I sat down and pondered and read and thought about faith and read different things that people have said about faith and trying to get my mind and my heart and my life wrapped around faith is a challenge in our human life. So I asked this question this morning. Are we people of faith? How do you know if you are a person of faith? What if somebody asked you a question, so what is faith? How would you describe it? And you certainly could go to the scripture and pick out the verses like we have that we'll look at. But actually, in a practical way, what is faith in your life as you do life? How does it work out? How can I get a hold of faith? Last Sunday we had a wonderful message on grace, and we enjoy grace. We value grace. Brother Anthony talked about grace as being God's riches at Christ's expense. It was an excellent sermon in preparation for communion, as we partook of the emblems to remember what Christ has done. We studied the Sunday school lesson this morning, again thought about what Christ has did for us. But how do you get grace? And we want to talk about that a little bit this morning. I hope I can communicate it in a way that you can get a hold of it and can become part of your experience. How do you experience grace in your life? I believe that faith lays hold of what grace provides. If you are to experience the grace of God, if I'm to experience the grace of God, we need to have faith. Faith has to be part of our experience. Otherwise, life becomes extremely difficult. So we ask the question, what is faith? Can people tell this morning that you are a person of faith by your lifestyle, by how you do life, parents, can your children know that their father and mother are people of faith by how they order their home? And I'm not talking about how you come to church. I'm talking about how you do life. The stress level in your life or the conflict level in your life. Can your family know that mom and dad are people of faith? Those are questions that I've been wrestling with in my life, in my experience, and just trying to think through life and, you know, am I really a man of faith? Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we have quoted that verse many times. I'm just going to paraphrase it a little bit. Now faith is a title or the deed. You know, I thought about a title and a deed. I have a title here, or a deed, of the farm that we live on. And this deed says that we purchased this farm from my father and mother on a certain date. And so we have this deed. I have a title here of the vehicle that we have sitting out in the parking lot, a Toyota Sienna. And those papers mean something. And he's telling us that we... faith is the title / deed of things hoped for, the proof of things not revealed to the senses. See, this is where we get into trouble. The truth is I have a title here of a Toyota, and I can take you out and show you the title. I'll show you the vehicle. I can tell you to come home to my place, and this is our farm. And I can say this is the deed. Faith is that we believe these papers or believe, but yet I don't have any proof that I have a farm or a Toyota. I can't prove it. And God says, I want you to have faith. Somebody said that faith is forsaking all. I trust him. And Galatians, Paul says that in Galatians chapter 2. He says, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for his righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Paul was living by faith, and I came across this thought that grace is God's ability, and faith is man's responsibility. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. Grace is something that God's provided his son, but faith has there's something that we need to do. And we're going to talk about that a little later. I'm not going to get into that now. Just a little story to illustrate a little bit here in the beginning of what faith is. Or what God's asking us to do. A little simple illustration. Two little girls were counting out their pennies one day. One said, I have 5 pennies. The other said, I have 10. No, the first girl said, you have 5 pennies, the same as I. But the second girl replied quickly, my dad said that when he comes home tonight, he will give me 5 pennies, and so I'll have 10 cents. The little girl had complete faith in her father's word. His promise could be trusted, and so she counted the pennies already. Knowing her father as she did, it was completely safe for her to speak of those pennies as her possession. The father did not need to share the child. The father did not need to show the child that he had 5 cents in order that she might believe that she would get them. So this little girl knew that she could trust her father, that he said, I'm going to give you five cents, and she counted them before she had them. That's faith. That's faith of a little girl in her father. Her faith rested in the character of her father, and so the Christian has confidence in the Word of God. Do we have confidence in what the Word of God says about the Father in heaven? Sir Harold S. Martin said this about faith: it is believing the seemingly impossible and the unexplainable and that which we cannot see because someone in whom we have confidence says it is so. Faith is required to live the Christian life. It's required. So when we're struggling, the truth is there's times that we struggle with our faith. There's times that we lack faith. And there's times that I've found myself trying to shore up my faith, like trying to build up my faith in within myself. Is that possible? Can you somehow build up your faith? This morning, if you're struggling with faith, you're not quite sure if you have the faith that you would like to have, can you somehow muster that faith up and generate it? I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't believe that. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God has given us a way to strengthen our faith. And it's not through us trying to do it in our own strength. So the question this morning again is, do we have faith? Are we living by faith? We sing that song. I actually have it along. I wish it were in our books. I looked in all our books, and it's only in the books that I have in my home. It's only in the Zion's Praises, Living by Faith. What a beautiful song. I listened to it numerous times. I don't know if the song leader later on can lead a verse or two of that song or not. Living by faith. I care not today what tomorrow may bring. If shadow or sunshine or rain, the Lord I know ruleth over everything, and all of my worry is vain. The truth is we worry sometimes. We do. Yeah, I think the older I get, the more I lay awake at night thinking about life. Thou tempest may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life. I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The master looks on at the strife. I know that he safely will carry me through no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care though the tempest may blow if Jesus walks close to my side? Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Living by faith, yes, living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confident, confiding in his great love, from all harm safe. Beautiful song. And we want to be people of faith. I believe I'm speaking to a group of people that want to be people of faith. But how do we get faith? The first point I have is the object of our faith. And that just means, what is the object? The something. It's possible for us to put confidence in the wrong object, the wrong place, or the wrong person. The motivational speakers that people may listen to. I think there's motivational speakers that you can go on and you can listen to them, and people will put earbuds in their ears and listen to motivational speakers as they work. And I don't know what all they're saying, but I just want to tell you this morning that faith is not motivational speaking. That faith is not positive thinking. See, there's something about that you, we want to think positive, and I'm for positive thinking, but only if it's based on the Lordship of Jesus Christ, on God. Because when it isn't, and positive thinking doesn't work out, what happens? People crash. People get discouraged. People get, they get what I, bummed out, if you want to use that term. Because positive thinking is not sustainable. Because bad things happen to positive thinkers. The stock market will crash. Or you'll lose a lot of money. It doesn't matter how many positive thinking you have. It doesn't rain. And I can think positive and think. Faith is putting our faith in God. It's being still and knowing that He is God. They say things like, it's not so important as to what you believe. You just need to believe. And they tell you to believe in yourself. You can do it. We got this. Those are the terms that they use. You can believe in your freedom. Believe in your goodness. So then there's times in life that we feel, we start questioning, really, we tell ourselves that we're good. And we use the criteria of what other people are and where we position ourselves. And we say, well, I'm not as bad as that person. This person is out here doing this and this and this, and I'm over here. I mean, really, I'm pretty good. And we get into those debates within our own soul. Faith says that we aren't good. God is the only one that's good. There is no goodness within us. And we go to God, and that's what we find security. Goodness is only from God. Faith is only good and acceptable to God when we engage it in truth. Just to illustrate this a little bit, how it's so easy for us to latch on to things that are not sustainable. I think this is a true story. There's two men in a boat in the Niagara River. And the Niagara River is very tumultuous. You should not be in a boat, a little boat above the Niagara Falls. But these boys, and I think maybe their motor went bad or something. I didn't read the whole story. And they were in the river, and the boat capsized. And they threw a lifeline out, and one of those men grabbed a hold of that lifeline. The other man hung on to the boat. He had faith in the boat. The other man had faith in the lifeline. Which one do you think got saved? The one that hung on the lifeline. They both had faith. They both expressed faith. And that's what is so important, that our object is the right object, that we go to God. The object of our faith must be God alone. Putting our faith in God. Not putting faith in our good works, not putting faith in us mustering up our own faith. We need to put our faith in God's. Romans 10:11 says, for scripture says, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. And that just means not be disappointed. The object of our faith must be the Almighty God. Anything other will be like putting your faith in a capsized boat above the Niagara Falls. We can't put our faith in who's going to be president of the United States. We can't put our faith in the economy. We can't put our faith in our good management. Our faith is no better than the object of that faith. Now, there's times that we have weak faith. And there was a man in the Bible that talked about his weak faith. And he said, "Help thou my unbelief." He had weak faith. And I'm here to tell you this morning, weak faith is better than unbelief. Because unbelief hinders us from actually latching on to faith. It's a terrible sin. If you go to Mark chapter 6, let's go to Mark chapter 6. And I as I pondered this scripture talking about unbelief and how weak faith is better than unbelief. Because when we have weak faith, we know it. And we go to God and we say, "God, help us. Help us to have faith. Strengthen our faith." But here we have a little story of Jesus. And remember, this is Jesus. He was able to do all manner of miracles. He was all powerful. He could disappear from a crowd like they wanted to capture him and he could disappear from the crowd. This is Jesus. Very powerful. Come from heaven, Son of God. And here he says these statements in Mark chapter 6, verse 4. "But Jesus saith unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and his own house." He's just saying that a prophet doesn't receive honor from his own country, and his own people tend not to believe in him. And it says here, "And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the village teaching." So here we have Jesus in this community, in this town, and it says that he was not able to do many mighty works because of their unbelief. And I had to ponder that, is it possible? Is it possible in church life, due to unbelief, that it hinders the work of God in our midst? Like if I have unbelief, if you have unbelief, is it possible that we can be in church life and that because of our unbelief, Jesus is not able to do a work in among us? That's what it says. And when I read those kinds of things, I have to ask God to forgive me for my unbelief. Because there's times I struggle with unbelief. There's times I'll say, this will never happen. This will never change. This will always be this way. That's not true. God can do a work. God can do a change. God can work in our hearts and our lives. Isaiah 45, verse 22 says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Scripture never tells us to put faith in our faith. It never teaches to put faith in our faith. There's times that we try and tell ourselves good things and try and make ourselves have faith. The Scripture never says that. He always says, look to God. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It always directs us that way. Hebrews 12, verses 2, and that's the one that talks about looking unto Jesus. He says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God." So we look to Jesus. And so how do we get faith? It's by his word. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The more we know God, the more we will find faith as a byproduct of the heart after God. The more you know God, the more you spend time in God's Word, the more you know Him, the more you will be able to put faith in Him and trust Him, and God will give you grace. Just like those two little girls, and that little girl said that I know, she counted her 10 pennies because she knew her father. So when we know our Father in heaven, we will be people of faith, and God, because of our faith, gives us grace and able to do life. Jeremiah 9. 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. If you want to glory in anything, don't glory in your goodness. Glory in the fact that you know God. And that you know his will for your life. He knoweth me that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. John 17:3 says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So the object of our faith needs to be God. Now we want to go to number two, the origin of our faith. They're very closely related, and I did mention some of it is the Word of God. Where does faith come from? I mentioned this earlier, but I'm going to tell you a little story that illustrates it really well. There was a Christian man in prison, and his cellmate was an ungodly man. Very ungodly man, a heathen. But this Christian man talked to this man, his cellmate, about Jesus quite often. And he would talk to him about Jesus. And finally, the man got angry. He said, I am sick and tired of you talking about Jesus. I don't want to hear it anymore. Stop it. The Christian said, okay, let's make a deal. I'll stop talking to you about Jesus if you read four books in the Bible. I want you to read John. I want you to read Luke. I want you to read 1st and 2nd Kings. Then I want you to read Romans. He says, then I'll only talk about Jesus if you want me to. But you read those books of the Bible. The reason he said, I want you to read 1st and 2nd Kings, because I want you, I don't know if he explained this to him or not, but the reason he had 1st and 2nd Kings, he wanted this man to get a picture of bad kings and good kings. So that was the deal was made. The man said, okay, I'll read those four books. But he says, so what's the deal? Why do you want me to read those four books in the Bible? The Christian said, because I know the power that's in the Word of God. So this man set in motion to read the books that he was assigned. And I don't know what point this took place, but in the middle of the night, this heathen man called out to his friend and said, woke him up and said, I need help. Show me. And he woke up, tried to explain to him some things. I think he went back to sleep. But that man became a Christian. That man became a Christian. Where did faith come from? That man needed to have faith in order to become a Christian. Where did it come from? From the Christian talking about Jesus, it was especially the beginning, but it came from the Word of God. It came down from heaven. Touched that man as he was reading God's word, and he became a Christian in that jail prison cell. Where did the man get his conviction and the expression of faith? The Christian was sleeping. He came from heaven. Faith comes from heaven. And the Bible says that if you want to be a person of faith, it comes by hearing the word of God and knowing the word of God. There's natural faith that we can talk about. We have faith that this building will stay standing. We have faith that we drive on the roads. You all have faith that the benches will hold you up. We have a lot of natural faith that we exercise. If you were to go for surgery to the anesthesiologist, you have faith that they'll give you the right amount of anesthesia and that you'll wake up at the appropriate time. We exercise faith in a natural sense all the time. We're not talking about that today. That the world can do that. The world exercises faith every day just like we exercise faith. We're talking about a supernatural faith that God wants to give you that only comes through surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Biblical faith is a supernatural faith. We don't generate it. We don't work it up. It comes down. 2 Peter talks about that. He talks about people that obtained the like precious faith. Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. You know, and as I pondered that verse, he says he's giving us faith, not only to believe in him, but also to be willing to suffer for him. Sometimes we ponder life and we know that we have lived a life of ease and we have not really suffered for Christ. And I wonder sometimes if we will not need to suffer for Christ in a greater way. And that can kind of cause fear in my heart and in your heart. But this scripture says that I'll give you the faith and the grace that for unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. So I have faith that God will provide and make us able to suffer in a greater way than we have. That's our God. I trust that. Just like that little girl trusted her father's going to give her 5 pennies, I can trust my Heavenly Father that he will give us what we need in those times. That's faith. Faith is not a leap in the dark. It's a step in the light. Faith comes down from heaven through God's word. So this morning, we can't just sit back and fold our arms and say, give me faith. We need to do something. It takes me to the next part. Point number 3, the objective of faith. So what is the objective of faith? It's to know our Heavenly Father. It's to know his will and yield our life to him. It's our goal. It's our aim. It's to know the will of God. Faith is not just getting man's will done in heaven. It's getting God's will done on earth. Faith is not for me to get done what I want done. And I want you to think about that. There are stories in the Bible. We have many, many stories where God asked people to exercise faith that it didn't make any sense at all. And God could have did it without the person. And I think about Moses. Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And they came to the sea. And the Egyptians came up behind them and they were trapped. There was nowhere to go. There were mountains on both sides they could not exit. There was water in front of them, the enemy behind. And God talked to Moses. And he told Moses, I want you to take your rod. And I want you to go there next to that sea, and I want you to hold your rod out. And I'm going to divide the sea and make a path for the children of Israel to walk across on dry ground. And it says that Moses took his rod and held it across the sea, and God did exactly what he said he was going to do. What did Moses' rod have to do with God dividing the sea? Why didn't God just say, I'm going to divide the sea? Why did he pull Moses into that and say, I want you to do this? God made his will known to Moses. Then he asked Moses to exercise faith so he could do a mighty work. And I believe that God wants to do mighty works among us, but we need to know the will of God, we need to know the heart of God, and we need to exercise faith and say, okay, God, this is what you want me to do, and I'm going to hold out the rod. And God can do mighty works. We have examples in the Bible, many of them. You could talk about Jericho, where the children of Israel marched around Jericho for 6 days, once a day, for 6 days. The seventh day they marched around Jericho seven times. And then they blew the trumpets and the wall came down. Why? Couldn't God take the wall down without Israel marching around Jericho for 7 days? I mean, these people were exhausted. This was probably hot. They needed water. This is a workout. Why did God do that? He needs people today that have faith so he can do mighty works. Joshua was a man of faith. And so they looked at Ai. Like, they sent some spies up there and checked it out. He said, not a big deal. We got this. We can handle this. So they got 3,000 men together and went up to Ai and lost the battle. 36 men died. Probably husbands. Who knows? And Joshua's like, whatever. He goes to God, and God told him what was going on. God said, there's sin in the camp. That's why you couldn't have the victory. Deal with that sin, and I'll give you the victory. Now, the lesson I want you to learn from that is Joshua is a man of faith. There's times in life that we think we know what God's will is, and we proceed with what we believe is God's will, only to discover it's not working out. Joshua could have said, well, I guess we're going to take 30,000 men. We can take care of this. We can come up with a different strategy, and we can take over Ai. Joshua said, I'm going back to God and saying, God, what are you doing here? Where do we get this wrong? Brothers and sisters, when we're people of faith, and when life, we set out to do something, and we discover that it's not working out, it's a part of wisdom, it's a part of faith to say, God, what do you want us to do? How can we do this? And I'm not saying that every time something doesn't work out, it's not God's will. Sometimes God, he put the disciples on a boat, and he knew the storm was going to take place, and they were out in the boat, and the storm was taking place, the boat was taken in water, they were fearful, and God told them to do that. They were obeying Jesus when Jesus told them to go out in the boat. But then Jesus delivered them. So there's times in life. But I just spoke to my heart when Joshua was a man of God. He was a man of faith. He made that decision. It didn't work out well. He went back to God and said, God, tell me what's going on. That's faith. Faith is not about getting our will done, it's about having God's will done. So what are the rewards of faith? Rewards of faith, there's many of them. I just have a few of them here quickly. Boldness and witness. We could look at 2 Corinthians 4:13, but it goes back to that man in prison, that Christian that was in prison, and he was talking to the non-Christian, and he kept reminding him about Jesus. And he was willing to step out and talk about Jesus. And when we're people of faith, and when you know God, and you know His will for your life, you won't be ashamed to talk about Jesus. It's only when we lack faith, and we focus on ourselves, and we get concerned about how people are going to treat us, how they're going to act, and what they're going to say if I start talking about Jesus, that focuses on me. But when I focus on God, I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's all right. It gives you boldness and witness. You could go to James number 2. That another thing that faith does is it gives good works. James 2, 14. I'm going to turn there. James 2, 14 through 16. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now, this is where we get caught. We somehow think that we can make good works, and that gives us credit of faith. I want you to think about this. Faith, this supernatural faith that comes down from heaven by our surrendering our will to God and knowing God, we surrender our will to God and know God, and faith comes down and fills our heart, gives us grace, we produce good works. Good works will be part of your life and your experience. You won't be doing good works for what you get out of it. You're doing good works to bring glory to God. There's something like having dead works, that people run around doing good things, but it isn't because of faith. They're just doing it because it makes them feel good. It's true. When you do what's right, you feel good. But the glory goes to God. And so faith produces good works. That's the rewards of faith. It does, and you can read more in James. Well, number 3, faith gives us victory over the world. You could talk to 1 John. 1 John says, and I'll turn there. 1 John 4, verse 4 says, and ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Chapter 5, verse 4 says, and whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Our faith overcomes the world. It means people of faith are not governed by the things of the world. It simply means that I'm not affected by the things that the world promotes and lifts up and values. We have a different value system than the world. That means that I'm not affected by the trends and ambitions of the world. If you're a person of faith, you're not affected by that. That's the world. You overcome the world by focusing on Jesus. Overcoming the world by focusing on the things of God and His will. And so therefore, what the world does doesn't affect us. It's a sad day. I hear this, and I know it's probably true, that the things that the world faces, was it 10 years later the church is facing? And he's saying that faith overcomes the world. People of faith will not allow the trends and the fashions of the world dictate what we do and what we don't do. Faith is discerning. And we look at something and we say, that's not right. Because the Bible says this. That's faith. Number four, living by faith makes a glorious future. It does. We look forward to being relieved. Hebrews 11 talks about that. Walking by faith frees us from anxious care. That's another point I have. We could read the story of Jesus, or the teachings of Jesus, that he cares more, you know, he cares for the sparrow that falls. Certainly he cares for us. We can have faith in God. And then we have victory over death. You know, when we face death, there's victory. There is. Our faith overcomes the world. Well, 2 Timothy 4, I want to read here in closing. He says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You know, can that be our testimony? Can it be our testimony? We fought a good fight. I've finished our course. I've kept the faith. We've walked by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11:6 says, I believe I'm talking to a group of people that you really want to please God. You really want to please God. You want to be accepted by God, right? Sure we do. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. We need to be people of faith. And if you're here this morning and you're not sure where you're at in your faith, I just plead with you to open your Bible and just be a Bible student. Read God's word, because he says that's where faith comes from. That's why that unbeliever in prison came to Christ, because he started reading the Bible. We should be giving Bibles out. People that don't have Bibles, you should give them the Bible. This is the holy book that converts the soul. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that casually seek him. Did I say that right? No, it says diligently. You know, we have people that work for us and people that do a good job, and I have a number of employees, and there's a number of them are very, very diligent. I say they're diligent workers. And I make that observation. I just want to ask you, there's many times that God looked down on earth and he made observations. He looked down on earth and looked at Job and made an observation. He looked down on earth and looked at Noah, made an observation. He looked down on earth at Sodom and Gomorrah and made an observation. We could go through the Bible and make note of all those observations that God made. Do you think God is looking down here this morning and making observations? I believe he is. Let's pray.